balancing larger Arctic ambitions with more local and immediate needs, like running water and affordable energy, dominated the discussion Monday during the Institute of the North's visit to Nome for the fourth annual Week of the Arctic. Niels Andreasen, the executive director of the Institute, says the discussion was wide-ranging and admittedly ambitious.
For as much as the long list of infrastructure and needs is, it's not all going to get addressed through the work that we're doing.
Andreasen struck a realistic tone about the scope of issues in the Arctic and how they far outweigh the money and political will needed to accomplish them. After an early morning meeting with Nome Mayor Denise Michaels and heads of regional nonprofit Kuwerik, Native corporations like Sitnasak, and other regional leaders, Andreasen opened up the floor of Nome City Council chambers to public input. Nome's Chuck Wheeler was the first to the podium, lambasting recent assessments that a deepwater harbor at Port Clarence near Brevik Mission and Teller wouldn't affect fish, wildlife, or other subsistence resources.
We own this land. The government's just the trustee. Number one priority is to protect the land, preserve it, enhance it. But when economic development comes and big money, they forget about that priority. Case in point, the Port Clarence facility for the deep draft port. There are 600 plus native tribal entities that live in these three villages, and they're going to be impacted. Where's their consideration? That should be a priority. I've got a granddaughter that lives in Brevik. She's going to be impacted on it. My son is a full shareholder of Teller Native. He's going to be impacted on it. To say there's no impact is asinine.
Focusing on energy, Gwen Holdman with the Alaska Center for Power at the University of Alaska Fairbanks says for all the talk of Arctic ambitions and the very real concerns for preparedness as more ships transit Arctic waters, the central problem of affordable, sustainable energy is what will ultimately decide the fate of many Arctic communities, as well as the direction of Arctic development.
Energy is an issue that's going to underline any of the goals that you're trying to seek to accomplish here. When you're looking at infrastructure build-out, looking at oil spill response, all of that, I think that the role of affordable energy has been really underplayed in a lot of these conversations. I'd like you to kind of consider thinking about energy a little bit more broadly.
Art Ivanoff with the Bering Strait Alliance spoke to needs for education and job experience for youth in rural communities. Ivanoff says kids in those communities need exposure to jobs and careers of people actually working in the Arctic, citing a recent visit to Gambell by the U.S. Coast Guard as an example.
And for me, it was like germinating a seed, and it's really important that we give those kids these opportunities, these insight about career opportunities that they've never seen before. But these types of efforts are necessary and critical to build our economy, but to safeguard our resources that we depend on as well.
And Washington State Senator Kevin Ranker, attending as part of the Joint Oceans Commission, urged Alaska law and policymakers to expand the conversation about the U.S. Arctic beyond Alaska and to other Pacific states like Washington.
There are similar economic drivers that connect the Arctic to Washington state. What's the port route system between the Arctic and increased vessel traffic to the ports of Tacoma and Seattle? And the reason I'm thinking about this more and more is I think it's very important that we not only in Washington, D.C. elevate the importance of the Arctic, but also with the state connections. The Arctic needs a larger congressional delegation representing the Arctic. If we can get Washington congressional delegates and Washington state legislators to start thinking about why the Arctic matters for a local reason, those are really interesting drivers that start to elevate this dialogue beyond Alaska is the only Arctic connection.
After the open house, the Week of the Arctic session moved to Nome's mini convention center for a series of presentations and panel discussions. Norton Sound Economic Development Corporation representatives gave visitors a rundown of the Community Development Quota, or CDQ, program used to manage marine resources and community investments throughout the region. Larry Cotter, the CEO of APICTA, the CDQ for the Aleutian and Pribilof Islands, says the success of Alaska's CDQ groups can be translated to other Arctic nations, an issue of heightened significance as the U.S. prepares to take over the International Arctic Council in April.
What we're talking about doing is taking a portion of the common property resource and, in essence, providing that resource to the communities to determine how to use it to the best benefit of the communities. And the same thing can be done in other Arctic countries around the world.
Elsewhere in town, a separate roundtable was held late in the day involving young leaders from throughout the Bering Strait region. Andreasen and other young professionals discussed a shared vision for a healthy Arctic future involving adaptation and balancing of traditional knowledge and contemporary technologies and education. During a panel discussing maritime navigation and forecasting, Amy Holman with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration shared a 5-year plan for building more accurate forecasts for ice formation and breakup in the Bering Sea. And at another panel on oil spill response, Dennis Young, representing North Star Stevedore, urged local leaders to take a more active part in long-discussed Arctic port development and to prepare for growth in the region. He emphasized a need to communicate with state and federal organizations and hold foreign-flagged vessels accountable as Bering Sea traffic increases. The week of the Arctic Conference continued in Nome today with several workshops and a federal listening session. The conference moves to Kotzebue tomorrow and Thursday before concluding in Barrow on Friday and Saturday. In Nome, I'm Matthew Smith.